Today, the UNC Board of Governors held its meeting and made a number of decisions, including personnel decisions for the coming year. WCHL's news director Blake Hodge was at the meeting earlier today, joins us now here in the studio. What's the latest?
Yeah, we had a couple of interesting things kind of just on the agenda overall. Executive compensation was on the agenda, and that was initially on the agenda. We got word that it had been moved off after a very long closed session discussion in committee yesterday. So still not a ton of detail over what was being discussed or the end result of that discussion as it's been kind of played out here a little bit more. And there was an interesting discussion about a pilot program that's been going on at Elizabeth City State University, Fayetteville State, North Carolina Central, allowing them to admit students that may not meet the minimum standard requirements flat out. If you have, I think it's a 2.5 GPA and an 880 SAT, and I don't remember what the equivalent ACT score is, but it allowed for a student, if they ticked up a point or a tenth of a point on their GPA, to drop a little bit on the SAT, just to give them a little more variance in admitting students and then trying to provide them support services to be successful once they are on campus. And so it was an interesting discussion today. It ultimately came down to being approved for three more years of this pilot program. So it seemed like 3 years was an interesting number to me, because that's not enough time
to
get through
a full
kind of graduation cycle.
What was
cycle.
Said about the fact? Was there opposition to it?
There were three or four votes that ultimately came against extending the pilot program.
From the whole 20-some person board?
Correct, 28 members, and there were a couple of people that were out today. And that opposition seemed to focus on a couple of different things. One, saying you've already got some data, maybe not graduation data, but you've got data over whether they're the students that were admitted under these standards, and it was capped at like 100 students.
Right.
It's not a massive block of students at any university. But you already got some data. Let's make a decision off of that. And if we need to have a further discussion about what we want our standards to be in terms of minimum requirements, then we can have that discussion as well. But you had 3 years. Let's move on. And that seemed to be the main opposition to extending the program, and whether they should. Steve Long, one board member, said that this was going to ultimately just erode at the minimum standards that were in place. And we had some of the same policy discussion that seems to be pretty consistent across a few other things, like whenever UNC goes over the, I believe it's 18% cap on non-North Carolinian students being admitted. It's hard for a blanket policy to fit across all 17 campuses, and UNC kind of is right on that line intentionally a lot of times, the 18%. And if they go over it, they typically have gotten a waiver. And I remember the first meeting with Margaret Spellings as president down at Fayetteville State, the discussion was, why do we have this policy if we're not going to enforce
just
it?
Just keep giving waivers.
Yeah,
every
kind of the same discussion today. They ultimately did extend the pilot program at those three universities for three more years. So it'll be interesting to ultimately get a full set of data there and then be able to take a look at it and determine, again, not the students that were admitted under these guidelines were not falling short of both requirements. It was just kind of a sliding scale of trying to figure out what's going to make a successful student and ultimate, graduate, hopefully, of whether you should put more weight on GPA or standardized testing and kind of
was
that
there
argument.
Data that was presented at the meeting? This is a fascinating topic.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
The data was not dug into greatly in the full board meeting. It was talked about in the committee meeting, and it's all online. You can get at the UNC Board of Governors meeting materials website. You can look through some of that. Basically, what it came down to in the discussion that we were hearing today, at least, Anna Spangler-Nelson is the chair of the Ed Planning Committee. She was making the presentation and making the recommendation to extend the pilot program, was saying that the data that they have in terms of, again, they don't have graduation data because it's a three-year study so far, but was showing that while the students were very close to being right in line with whatever you want to call
it's
it,
like
it's
the
standard
average numbers.
Admission.
Yeah.
I hate using words like normal and things in talking about these conferences, but like standard admission students. One really interesting aspect of this was the GPA may have been slightly lower, but they were having more credits. So they were actually, it seemed like taking heavier workloads, in some cases, and maybe even being closer to graduating in 3 years. But again, still didn't have the
full. That actually kind of makes sense to me, because I mean, you get in kind of with the minimum standards, you know, you got to work a little bit harder, so you take more credits. I can see that.
And, you know, there's a lot. It varies across universities, of course, but it speaks as well to having the support personnel there and ready at the administrative level to be able to know that you've got some students that are coming in that may be a little below the minimum standards and may need a little more assistance in terms of just getting up to speed. And just a big theme today was providing the opportunity for them to succeed. And then what role does the community college play in all of this as well? Community college system just got a new president as well, who is very familiar to the system board of governors, the UNC system board of governors. So I think will be an interesting timeline over the next few years to see how that relationship may grow and may become more reliant on each other in terms of what students are being maybe guided to the community college system ultimately in hopes of getting them fully prepared to succeed once you get to a four-year university, because that's been a big topic of discussion at the Board of Governors for a long time now, of not just the minimum standard students, but any student getting in and then racking up debt, dropping out in 2 years, and then what do you do at that point?
Speaking with WCHL News Director Blake Hodge, talking about the Board of Governors meeting that was earlier today in Chapel Hill. Other big items from the agenda?
That was the policy discussion today, but the big actual news from today, what we'll have a story on online here in a few minutes and on the air this afternoon and tomorrow as well, is electing a new chair. And sometimes that can feel very kind of pomp and circumstance-y and not have a huge change, but it actually might this time around. Lou Bissett has been the chair since John Fenebresque resigned from not only the chair, but from the board in general back in October 2015. Margaret Spellings was selected as president on a Friday, and then he resigned on Monday. You know, if you remember back at that time, there were protests at every board meeting, and it was a bit of a tumultuous time. And Fenebresque, his leadership style was kind of a little more just firebrandish. He was in headlines a lot of the times, and Bissett talked today, Lou Bissett, the who has been chair since that fall of October 2015, was talking today about his intent and what he believes he accomplished in providing some stability to the board. But there, you know, the board changes over every few years with new appointments from the General Assembly, and there seems to be a shift in mindset among the board of some members who want to kind of stay in the traditional role of the UNC System Board of Governors, of being a policy-making board and providing oversight to a large, you know, generally deemed as successful higher education system whenever you're looking at national rankings and reputation, versus other board members who would like to be more involved in maybe some of the day-to-day operations of the university campuses. And that can take on a lot of different roles, whether it's talking about providing metrics that you're now going to look at how grading, you know, kind of quote-unquote faculty, or if it's talking about the actual just business operations of the campus. Who's building your building buildings? Who's going to oversee the management of these things? Whether there should be more of these P3s is kind of the shorthand, public-private partnership of contracting with a developer to build a property and oversee that contracting of filling the rooms and things like that, and how far you want to go down that road. And it's varied widely in terms of different universities having different successful or really not successful relationships with private developers in some of these cases. So it'd be really interesting to see how this goes moving forward, because Harry Smith, who was elected chair today, it seems to be a big proponent of running in a more business-like fashion and getting into a lot more of these public-private partnerships. So that I think that will be what a lot of people are looking at over the next 2 years as he takes over.
And there's been a number of kind of public squabbles between members of the Board of Governors, or actually among members of the Board of Governors, but between some members and President Spellings. Lou Bissett has kind of been on the side of President Spellings in those squabbles, and John Fenebresque, without having been on the board for that time was very much in Margaret Spelling's corner when she was first appointed. So wherever he would have stood, where is Harry Smith? Yeah, where has he been in those debates?
Yeah, that'll be one of the things that we'll see if it evolves a lot. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was talked about today was staying in your lane. Lou Bissett said that several times. And that goes back to that letting the management people manage the campuses and letting your chief executive in this situation.
Said that numerous times, dude.
Several times.
As many times as Dwight Eisenhower said military-industrial complex on his way out the door.
Being able, leaving people room that you've hired to manage, to allow them to manage. And that includes Margaret Spellings, it includes Carol Folt at the Chapel Hill campus, and on down the line. So, it seems as though Harry Smith will lean toward more toward at least wanting to be involved in those. We'll see how much of an active decision-making kind of piece he wants to take of that, or if it's just wanting to be uber involved in all of the conversations that are going on, and if he leaves the decision-making to that, or what the will of the board is. I mean, they are the governance structure right now. They're the ultimate kind of decision-making body whenever you're talking about things that are going to affect the entire system. And it'll be really interesting to see, because there have been some, public headbutting over things, whether it's handling Silent Sam and figuring out, Bissett and Margaret Spellings both caught flack from the board for even writing to Governor Cooper regarding Silent Sam whenever there was that August 22nd protest around the Confederate monument on the Chapel Hill campus last fall. And a lot of this seems to go to the governance structure and the preference of the board, because Bissett and Spellings said they consulted with the committee chairs and then went from there, whereas other board members felt like everybody on the board should have some input. And again, you're talking about a really large board here. I mean, it's 28 people now, and that's as they're paring it down.
Right, it was 32.
So we'll see. This kind of governance structure might change, or if the will of the board is to have more of that input in the day-to-day activities on campuses.
All right, we'll keep following that, and look to our website, chapelburger.com, for fuller reports. Yeah, other things going on the board today?
So two other things with Harry Smith. You may recognize that name, or else if you've been following this, he's been involved in a couple of things that are a little controversial recently. He was named in a lawsuit by a former financial officer at North Carolina Central University. He, along with Daryl Allison, another board member, for being accused of kind of improperly steering the university toward a particular housing vendor. It was also WREL reporting on a lot of emails that they got through a public records request about back and forth with ECU and an apartment complex, a private apartment complex that Smith had been approached about purchasing. He's an ECU grad and does a lot of business down in Greenville and a lot of these types of things. So there's some interesting kind of background that we'll have to continue to see how that plays out during his time as now the board chair. He was serving as vice chair. He did not speak at the press conference today. It seemed like they were, he didn't speak. He was approached after the meeting by most media outlets and told everyone that he was not going to be speaking today, but he'll be there in July, and I think that'll be a really interesting conversation.
Sounds good. Blake Hodge, thank you so much.